Falcons OTA started today. One guy wasn't there, but there was a guy who was. And we're going to talk about him, talk about the Falcons coming up in an hour from now. What is going on is the SEC is having its league annual meetings, which started yesterday down in Destin. And every year it's a big deal. It feels like it's a bigger deal this year. And that's why we got to talk to our guy, Connor Riley. Let's talk some dogs. Connor, it feels like Greg Sankey has got a lot of pressure on him to kind of guide and direct where this thing is going to go. And then Mike and I were talking about his comments yesterday where I'm not going to say he was a little snappy, but it felt like, okay, this is a different Greg Sankey that we're dealing with. Let's talk about what they're addressing down there and what's going on at the league's annual meetings.
Yeah, I think there is, and more so than any time in recent memory, there's just a lot of anger with, I think, the direction of college football right now and where it is going. And look, Greg Sankey, understandably, is going to do what is best for the SEC. That is what his job is to do. But at the same point in time, I think there's some frustration directed at him because the SEC is trying to do what is in the self-interest of the league. And so there is debate on what the college football playoff model looks like going forward. There is a 5 automatic qualifiers versus 11 at-large teams. There is also a model that has been proposed where the Big Ten and the SEC get 4 automatic bids, and you sort of siphon off the pie from there. There are a lot of things that are waiting to be doled out right now, potentially a 9-game conference schedule. Mm-hmm. What the transfer portal looks like. Kirby Smart had some very strong comments today on how he believes that should end up looking. But a lot of this right now is also still being held up by the health settlement, which is still not signed, and there's not really a deadline or an end date in mind with what that's going to look like. I know they have planned for July 1 for those revenue share payments to start going out, but nothing has been finalized from there, and that is sort of, in my mind, the big thing that is holding everything up. Like, we'll find out about playoff expansion and the way everything else looks, but right now Greg Sankey is kind of just, you know, trying to feed a lot of mouths, but the problem is that his delivery is being held up by this house settlement, and we can't really move forward until that gets ironed out and finalized.
How does Kirby manage this? Because what I read over the weekend, it seems like you don't even know how many guys are going to be on scholarship.
No, and you know, they had always sort of, you know, believed that Judge Wilkin was going to allow the grandfathering in of those roster limits, which is why there's been such a holdup here. And they had always sort of had that earmark for like an end of August. That's when we've got to make the discussion. It sounds like they're going to be able to carry over 105 for the time being and then ultimately get that down. But it just speaks to, and you heard some of Kirby speak about this today, the frustration and learning how to deal with all of it. And the quote that he had that was relayed to him is, there's no crying from a yacht. And so when you make as much money as college football is making, and it is a $1 billion enterprise now, you know, these are the problems that you have to live with and you have to figure out. You have to deal with the transfer portal while you're getting ready for the college football playoff. You're having to figure out what your roster limit is going to be. You're going to have to figure out NIL and how to divvy up the slice of pie when it comes to revenue sharing and all of that, and what the busy month of June looks like from a recruiting angle right now. We're also potentially moving forward if they move to an OTA setup, which are, there are some coaches that are in favor of that. And those are all sort of things that a modern college football head coach is having to deal with. But at the same point in time, college head coaches have never been paid more, and this is just sort of what comes with the job.
Connor, so as these rules are being rewritten, or soon to be, what about this crossfire between conferences and how, you know, like 136 schools on the FBS level are like, yo, what about us, right? Because the Big Ten and the SEC are leading the way, and that's why we talk about Greg Sankey in the way that we have, at least to start this conversation. And then I'm hearing this, and I want your opinion on this. This antitrust exemption that college football needs, but nobody's taking the lead on this in Congress, that would basically prevent an employee and employer situation. Is this something that's even realistic?
And that's the thing. You know, there have been people in college athletics that have been begging Congress to get involved. And I think that there are also people in college athletics like, you know, government intervention isn't always the best way of things going about and things being done. And so, and you even saw that with the what appears to be a very short-lived college sports commission. For, I know that's not the proper name, but the commission that Donald Trump tried to have Nick Saban and Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech booster, run.
Right.
And so, you know, ultimately, there's this idea out there that we eventually move to collective bargaining and you have employees versus employer. And one of the things that the House settlement, one of the questions that had been raised by Judge Wilkin was, okay, so what do you do with these high schoolers that are moving in to college athletics who weren't at the table when this decision was made? And there's just a lot going on right now. And ultimately, it comes down to, in my opinion, a crisis of leadership. And when you have conferences acting in their own best interest, you're going to have situations like you have at the SEC and the Big Ten trying to negotiate bigger slices of the pie than, say, the ACC and the Big 12, even though we know the best football comes from the SEC and the Big Ten. We don't have to pretend anymore that, you know, the ACC is what the SEC is in football. And so, look, ultimately, these conferences are going to have to get together and get on the same page. And you saw that in a small way last week with them redoing the seating for the college football playoff. At the same point in time, you have the ACC and the Big 12 coming out and sniping, in my opinion, the SEC and the Big 10 in the press afterwards. And Greg Sankey, I thought, to his credit, actually retorted yesterday and said, oh, you know, press releases don't really solve some of the issues that we're trying to get solved right now, because I think he recognizes, as just about everybody else, that college football is just in a really bad place right now,
right,
and it doesn't look like it's going to get a whole lot better.
So, as we said, without having a college football czar and waiting on this, you know, the House settlement to finally come down, I mean, I said to Carl off the air, I don't mind Sankey playing this kind of bully pulpit move, because nobody has the strength of schedule. Like, you look at last year's final strength of schedule, and it's dominated by the SEC. Then there's some Big Ten in there, certainly, because Ohio State came in 2, Notre Dame at 4. But basically, it's everybody. Penn State came in at 8. Everything else is SEC. I mean, nobody plays the kind of schedule like Florida played. Nobody, I mean, Georgia's schedule last year. So, to me, when does the SEC push with the Big Ten to really even ratchet up even further and say, let's have a Super 50, and we'll cherry pick from the remnants of the Big 12 and the ACC, and we'll get on with our lives, and everyone will make more money.
And that's where people have thought this has all been heading. And I think that last line you had there, Mike, about this, about we'll have even more money, is what has driven so much of this to this point. And like, look, you know, yes, TCU made a national title game a few years ago, and it was a great story, and it was great for what college football could potentially be. But then they get on the field with Georgia, and Georgia just takes belt to behind for 4 hours in what is a wildly uncompetitive national championship game. And I actually think a 12-team playoff has now maybe perhaps worked against seeing something like that moving forward. So ultimately, Mike, I think that's probably, you know, if for the best of college football, that's perhaps where it's headed. For that 50 game, that sort of super conference, 40 teams, however it ultimately ends up at, because there's just so many mouths to feed. And ultimately, you know, no one is going to want to come together and take a little bit less for the betterment of the rest of the sport. And so it's going to be on guys like Tony Pelini or like Greg Sankey to say, hey, we're going to take our ball with our, you know, 16 teams in the SEC, 18 teams in the Big Ten, and then say, you know, Clemson, Florida State, Arizona State, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 other teams.
Right.
We'll go and take our ball and spin it off into football only. And then at the same point in time, you can have basketball, baseball, softball, women's tennis, men's tennis, the rest of it sort of return to what it had usually looked like before. I think football had just warped this entire college athletics industry so much.
Do you think Connor Riley, our guest, guys, from Dog Nation, you can check out all his stuff there. We're talking about the annual league meetings going on with the SEC down in Florida. Do you think everybody in the SEC is on board with what Sankey is presenting?
I think by the end of it, they publicly will be. You know, behind closed doors right now, I think there's still some posturing in terms of things and how they want to look. You know, last week,
because let me ask you. Well, because the reason why I'm asking you this is because everybody doesn't win, right? I mean, when I say this, we're talking about Georgia specifically because that's what we're focused on, but everybody is not winning in the SEC if this goes the way that it's going to go. Am I right or wrong on that?
Right. And but for example, a 9-game conference schedule is something that's been, you know, battered around this week and something. And, you know, this time a year ago, even within Georgia, I think there were a lot of people that would be like, yeah, let's have a 9th conference game and enjoy the bigger matchups. Like, the fans are always going to want that. But that was with the idea that, you know, Georgia's never going to lose and Georgia's going to win so many other games. Last year, you see that schedule play out where Georgia plays 4 teams in the top 14 in an 8-game schedule. And meanwhile, Texas and Ole Miss, they end up playing one of those teams, and that's both Georgia for both of them. Mm-hmm. So that creates a schedule imbalance. And moving forward, getting into the college football playoff is going to be the most important thing every year. Adding a ninth conference game in a league like the SEC is inherently going to make that more difficult. And so when you have a subjective test, like we saw with the 12-team playoff this last year, where I do agree with Greg Sankey, I think so many times people just look at losses rather than the quality of the team. And what you have there, it ultimately gets into, you know, do you want to expand in that? And ultimately, look, the league's going to do what's right. I'm actually at the point now where and I know this might be controversial to some, I'm okay with the four automatic bids for the SEC, removing some of the subjectivity from all of this and just knowing, hey, you finish in the top four in the SEC, you're going to make the playoff. And if you can't finish in the top four of the league, you probably don't belong in the college football playoff anyway.
Right. And until last year, Notre Dame was always monkeying around. It was always – I never seen Notre Dame say, we'll give back something into the pot or the kitty. We'll share some of our revenue. I mean, that's – like, they've cut their own deal with TV, and that's exclusive to Notre Dame. But you could argue, Connor, that only, like, Ohio State and Michigan, to a lesser extent, Penn State, Wisconsin, a quarter of the Big Ten generates the kind of TV ratings that every Saturday generates in the SEC. Because the brands are just so big and the matchups are always such quality.
Right. There are probably 10 teams that, right or wrong, believe every year that they should be in the college football playoff. That the delusion in the fan base, which is what makes college football what it is just that high. That's not the case in the Big Ten. There are maybe five, maybe six, depending on how you want to view, say, a Wisconsin or USC at this point in time, that believe that they should be in the playoff every year. And so that makes the SEC that much more difficult because you have those teams that weren't close to the playoff last year, an LSU, a Florida, that are willing to spend and be aggressive and do the things that they need to try to get into the college football playoff.
Right.
Whereas I think so many teams in the Big Ten, they're just going to be content. Hey, let's grind out an 8-9 win season. Let's collect our big, massive TV check and just sort of keep things rolling in that regard. And that is what makes the SEC so much more difficult because now you're seeing, I think, a race to the middle because there were only so many resources now that you have added Texas and now that you have added Oklahoma. Two more teams that believe every year they should be in the college football playoff.
And just to bring it back to, like, the ACC – you know, the ACC's got to handle – my answer's always been the ACC's got to do a better job. Teams got to play better. They've got to be better. Now, for Georgia Tech fans, how does it seem like Georgia Tech and somebody like the ACC, where do they fit in all this?
And that's the thing moving forward where, you know – and look, like the SEC a decade ago had, I think, three or four teams in the NCAA tournament. This past year, they get 13 teams in. You can – and there will be ebbs and flows with conferences. You know, some of this is money and investment, and I think with Brent Key at Georgia Tech, they've done that. You have to just win consistently as well. There weren't a whole lot of 10-2 ACC teams a season ago. And ultimately, you do see an SMU, which I believe went 11-1 in the regular season. They lose the ACC title game to Clemson, but they still get into the playoff. Clemson, you know, they lose three games during the regular season, but they still find a way to get into the playoff. At an ACC school like Tech, if you're able to go 10-2, yes, even if one of those losses is Georgia or you lose twice in the conference and you're mm-hmm. able to find a way to beat Georgia, you're going to be in college football playoff territory because the SEC teams we know are going to beat up on each other. And it just with what we've seen right now, if you're a double-digit win team in a Power 4 conference like, say, the Big 12 or like the ACC, you're going to be on the knocking on the door of making it into the college football playoff.
It is going to be an interesting offseason. Look, I've said this, and I know you feel this way, Connor. When Saturday rolls around, the games are the games. We're still going to watch. But all of this other stuff has to get fixed for the system to be as successful as we hope it to be. And that's what they're trying to handle and figure out down there. Connor, tell the people where they can find your stuff. And thanks for joining us on a Tuesday, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. You guys can follow me on Twitter, @KConOReilly. We'll have a ton of stuff out of the meetings this week.